Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Okay, and next we will hear, and I believe she's in person, Rebecca Matthews, and that is for University of West Florida.
That brings me really to my roots, which is I was born in Pensacola, have a very long time fondness for the town and the entire area. I did move there, however, from my middle school age down to Tampa and came to Tallahassee for my the rest of my adult life. But we kept connections. My parents had a home there. We had a family home up until about 8 years ago, until they fully retired. So there is a personal connection to the community itself.
The Florida Senate Higher Education Appropriations Committee had a meeting last week where they talked about the UWF trustees who had been nominated or appointed by the Board of Governors, 3, and by the governor himself, 5. And, of course, there's been a lot of controversy about that. We've talked about it many times when they were first put in. Not with no discussion, as has been claimed, but with what I would describe as little discussion. They put Scott Yenner, the most controversial of all the picks, the one who's never been here and isn't from here and is in Boise, and has said some things. We've talked about this quite a bit. But they all agreed to make him the chair. And then Rebecca Matthews was made the vice chair. And so, you know, she is at least from here, you know, vaguely, with some Florida connections.
I've been over to Pensacola multiple times, met with President Saunders and her cabinet, spent many days with them now at this point, but I've been to all 3 of the campuses, which is the campus proper, the one over in Fort Walton Beach, and then the downtown historic district, which is really fascinating and great history of Florida. I've done that, met a lot of the faculty and staff. We've had a few board meetings already. It's a vibrant school. It really is. It's a vibrant community. You've all read the paper and the press on it and know their metrics. They are doing a great job. It's an excellent school. They bring in a lot of revenue and jobs for the community. And my intention here is I don't know why they wouldn't continue to excel.
Yeah, and that's been the general tone, is that UWF is doing well, and, you know, naturally they're going to keep doing well, to which what we say is, well, then why didn't you appoint people we know who aren't likely to take the university in any surprising direction other than to keep going in the better and better direction that it's already going? So Senator Gail Harrell, who is the chair of the committee, asks...
We do have some public testimony, and I have several people who have indicated they want to speak on UWF. Would any of those individuals care to speak on this nominee, Rebecca Matthews? Seeing none, okay, we'll move on. Thank you very much.
So
we appreciate your being here very much.
They wanted to wait until Adam Kissel was going to be nominated. They were going to go through the – there was only 4. There's supposed to be 5, really, in the beginning, but Gates Garcia did not get up for consideration. So you had Rachel Moya, Rebecca Matthews, and Ashley Ross, who are the 3 Board of Governors nominees, and then Adam Kissel, and then Gates Garcia was not there. Scott Yenner still has not been put on, and we have a couple of others that are still, you know, not. So this is one of 2 committees, the other one being Senator Gates' Ethics and Elections Committee, that are going to hear all of this. So with Rebecca Matthews, sort of what they did was they went through the, you know, exposition, you know, like meet the candidate and then have, if you have comments by the public, and then later on they came back and talked about all of the candidates, because it wasn't just UWF that had candidates up. I mean, you had folks from University of North Florida, University of Central Florida, Florida A&M, Florida State, Florida Gulf Coast, Florida International. So, you know, UWF was not the only thing on the agenda. It was just that we are the most sort of newsworthy, as you may suspect, are all from their areas, know their universities, and were uncontroversial and got approved 7-0 or 6-0, whichever the vote was. Rachel Moya was the next one up, and she led with...
First and foremost, I am a Christian, wife, and mother, stepmother, to 6 beautifully unique children.
I don't have any problem with it, but it's a weird intro. I have no problem. You know, she seems fine. It's what maybe I would say. I don't know, just caught me sideways. oddly. But I don't disagree. And it is the most important thing in your life if you are a Christian. At least it should be. It seemed a little odd to me.
While I will list out my professional qualifications regarding this appointment today, I'll note that my greatest accomplishment is being a mother, and now stepmother to some truly amazing humans. I am the daughter of a retired firefighter and a nurse, and I'm also the proud sister to a law enforcement officer. So public service runs in my blood.
Again, I don't disagree with any of it, but you're up for the trusteeship on the board of University of West Florida, and your highlight is I'm a mom. Like, it's fine. It's not a problem. I understand why you might say it, but it's not enough to be out. Now, she had other things, okay? It's just kind of caught me sideways that she said it that way. I don't have any particular objection to her. She actually seems, fairly fine in terms of she's got a lot of experience, and she was on a very large school board in South Carolina.
Prior to living in Florida, I was twice elected as a school board member in South Carolina. As a native to the school district I represented, it was my honor to serve their diverse student population, where I oversaw an annual operating budget of over $320 million and debt service fund of $90 million. I had the pleasure of serving on the Finance and Legislative Committees and as chair of the Policy and Growth Committees. My priorities include student safety and security, fiscal discipline and transparency, and being a voice for parents.
And, even one of the senators, Danny Burgess, says he knows her a long time. She's very capable. I think she's the one who had worked on the Senate side in Tallahassee, so she knows government fairly well. Not any real controversy over her as an, qualifications kind of person. But still, not from here. Barely from Florida, certainly not from Pensacola. Ashley Ross, the other one from the Board of Governors, and again, no commentary on her, from the public.
I was born and raised in Tampa, Florida, as a third-generation Floridian, where I was a graduate of HB Plant High School. I am a proud product of our state university system, where I graduated from Florida State University with both my undergraduate degree in marketing and my MBA. I now live here in Tallahassee, Florida, with my husband, Scott, our two daughters, Kendall and Sarah Kate, and our three dogs.
And she also seems great, capable, smart, qualified, whatever, the things that you would assume. I'm from Florida three generations. To me, that seems better than being from somewhere else. I mean, I'm from somewhere else, but I have lived here 11 years, and I think you would all agree that if somebody wanted to make me a board of trustee member for the University of West Florida, I would feel like, are you sure? and I'm, I have a master's degree in philosophy. I know higher education pretty well. I have two kids who went there. I've lived here 11 years. I would still feel like, well, I don't have a doctorate. You know what I mean? Like, certain kind of expectations you have. But what if they put me up for to be a board of trustee for, like, FAMU? Or UCF. That'd be weird. Newish to Florida, a decade. Pretty skilled, capable at a lot of things. Maybe decent enough to be on the board at UWF, maybe. I wouldn't say it's a slam dunk. I wouldn't say it's a definite no. I'd say it's kind of, But you definitely wouldn't think of me for UCF. That'd be weird. That's why these are weird. Just because, it's odd. So then Adam Kissel is the big, and we'll have that conversation 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock hour. But you ought to have heard, and I want you to have heard, the conversation about these other candidates. Because the issue around the other candidates is not so much that any individual problem with them. The issue around these other candidates is that UWF isn't broken. Why are we not having people from here? People from somewhere else don't understand the sort of local culture, tone, campus, community interaction. And the most troubling for a lot of the public testimony, but also for the members of the Senate, is not so much anything in particular, but the question of, well, you all voted for Scott Yenner to be the chair, and you know his issues, controversy, and that decision alone means that your judgment isn't what it should be in terms of recognizing who should be leading and who should not be leading. And the fact that you did that almost without conversation, as I have said, certainly looks suspicious, like the governor kind of instructed them to do this, which would be allowed before they're sunshine eligible. But still, it's, you know, an odd thing. And so that whole concept of the fact that you elected Scott Yenner, Jennifer Bradley, who is a Republican, actually, I think she's the vice chair on the panel.
And I will say, which hasn't been said, and this is for all of the trustees, it's concerning to me that Mr. Yenner was elected as the chair of your board without comment. That's very troubling to me.
No, it wasn't without comment. This is something that I've heard a couple of times from people who give public testimony. It wasn't without comment. It was with light comment. And they certainly, you know, didn't get into all of his qualifications. There was a controversy over, you know, him versus Dick Baker, and who was the other person been nominated to be the chair and had been here a while and wasn't brand new. And, you know, look, I think there's at least two different issues when it comes to the others, the non-Adam Kissel people, okay, and the non-Scott Yenner. It's the fact that, A, they made Scott Yenner the chair against the votes of the sort of incumbent members. Like, they kind of came in and took over, hostile takeover style. B, no real conversation about whether that was appropriate. And C, the brand new people on the board should not be put in charge of the university, especially when they've never even been here. Like, that's crazy. I mean, on top of the, you know, the issue of the governor appointing them in general, but the who should be the chair. And so I think there is a pretty good argument to be made that y'all either laid down or you colluded or you did something inexplicable in putting a brand new person who's never been in this position before, who's never been here before, in charge and in vice charge. That reflects on your ability to make good judgments. Now, one of the things in this whole conversation has been that people aren't from here. And this is kind of an interesting one because, on the one hand, people who are not from here can still be great ads, okay? And people who have never been here could still be great ads, and people who have only been here a little while could still be great ads, but not when it's all of them. Like, I'll take Adam Kissel as a point. I like Adam a lot. I think Adam is very capable. I think we would be blessed to have him. I know there's been a lot of controversy around him. I think the controversy around him is almost completely misplaced. Out of all of the people that are up, that are kind of have been nominated, I would take him, and I would take him hands down, easy, quick, done. That's Andrew talking. If I had a chance to vote on this issue, I would vote for Adam Kissel. The other ones, I would probably vote down all of them. Some for reasons, some on principle. Okay? But I think Adam Kissel's a good ad. But that's as one non-Escambia County person, right? I mean, a whole slate of them is crazy. You could argue that having one person who's never been to the university, or, although now he has, okay, one person who doesn't know the area, although to some degree now he has, and I think he's from Florida originally, just not here, and it's fine. One outside voice with a lot of experience, and he has a lot of experience, it could make sense, but not eight of them. No, that makes no sense. And that's the problem. And so to add to that, now the kind of perception by the community that something is being done to us and our beloved university against our will, without our consent, and without our participation in the process, that also tends to taint all of them, including even an Adam Kissel. So for those who say they should all be voted down, I understand why. For those who say because they picked Scott Yenner, I understand. I do. For those who say that none of them are from here and that's a problem, I understand. I think, well, one has more local ties. If I'm voting, I'm voting on individuals, and I'm voting no on everybody except Adam Kissel. But if you want to vote no on Adam Kissel, I'm not going to fight you over it. I get why you would. Not the reasons typically that people had, his comments about defunding, privatizing public education, and also on the GI Bill. I think those are both, he answered those questions very capably in the conversation. But what actually did happen is they approved all three of the Board of Governors ones, Ashley Ross, Rachel Moya, Rebecca Matthews, 5-2. The two who voted no were the Democrats. One Democrat because of connections with the Heritage Foundation and Project 2025, and the other one because they supported Scott Yenner. The other five, the Republicans, all voted yes. Adam Kissel got voted down 6-1. Only Danny Burgess voted for him. Everybody else voted against him for a variety of reasons. So we'll talk more about this, specifically about the Adam Kissel one, because I think that one's very interesting. As I've said, I would have voted for him. 525 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Bands on the Beach is back. Grab a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, it's Pensacola Beach favorite Christy D and Bad Juju. So grab a blanket or a lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at PensacolaSanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Holy smokes, man. Not only did we get hammered hard yesterday with the wind and the rain, and we saw a lot of this stuff over the weekend, too, and we're going to get it again today. Looks like we're a 3 out of the 5 zone later on this morning, like 10:30 or so. Do you see the video of the water rolling down the stairs in the Dillard's at?
Oh, yes, that was shown to me.
Holy smokes, man.
That is crazy.
Wow. It's been a while since I've been in the Dillard's. That's the shoes are ground level, right?
Correct.
And then it's upstairs. So that's coming from the roof somewhere.
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing I could.
I know this is going to sound like a stupid thing to say out loud, but I couldn't remember if there was a basement in Dillard's in the I knew it was on the ground. I knew it was below, but I couldn't remember if it was a second level anyway. So, yeah. Wow. And the Walmart parking lot in Creighton was totally flooded out. It was not deep. Okay. You could drive through it, but it looked like a lake.
It did.
Last night when I went there. David Wayne is out today. Steve Taylor on his last day filling in. Steve, you got some headlines?
Yes, I do. President Trump says he's not joking about serving for a potential third term. During a phone call with NBC News, Trump was asked about joking multiple times about serving 3 times, to which he replied it was not a joke, while also claiming he has the highest poll numbers of any Republican for the last 100 years. For only the second time in NCAA tournament history, all 4 number 1 seeds are advancing to the Final 4.
War Eagle.
Yeah. Well, it's coming up. Houston took down Tennessee 69-50, while Auburn defeated Michigan State 70-64. Saturday's Final Four will see Houston take on Duke, while Auburn, as you mentioned, will match up with Florida this year. And the winners will face off on April 7th for the national championship in San Antonio. And those are your headlines.
All right, Steve, thanks for the update. Could have been all SEC if y'all had done your jobs. but no, Houston... I mean, the only game that was close, really, was the Florida game. That was a weird game. That was stressful. The other games were all, you know, very not close
but
at all.
Houston just dominated them.
Yeah, and Duke, same. Like, Alabama was never in that game.
Never.
And which was weird because they had done so well in the prior round. So I was pulling for Tennessee and Alabama, and it just didn't work out because I thought all SEC, that'd be cool. All number ones is weird. One time ever it's happened before. So, wow. You know, we'll take it. Oh, by the way, on the Trump being president again, the amendment literally says shall not be elected more than twice. So if two other people become president and vice president, and then one resigns, and then the president picks him to be the vice president and gets confirmed by the House and the Senate,
Fox News.
It could happen.
I'm Chris Foster. President Trump says he's angry with Russia's President Putin for suggesting he wants peace talks with a new Ukrainian government, not the current President Zelensky. And Zelensky, Trump says, is going to have problems if he backs out of a mineral rights deal. The president also says he's not joking about considering ways to serve a third term, but doesn't want to talk about it now.
I have had more people ask me to have a third term, which is in a way a fourth term because the other election, the 2020 election, was totally rigged.
The Constitution says presidents can only be elected twice and cannot serve as vice president. Still a few more survivors and more than 1,700 bodies are found in the rubble of Friday's earthquake in Burma.
The true number of people killed and injured is thought to be many times the official figures. In several areas, telecommunication damage and travel problems are making it hard to know the scale of the damage.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. There's been no pause in Burma's four-year civil war. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31, 70 degrees right now and cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. A strong cold front is on the move and will bring a chance for some strong thunderstorms here in the area as early as 8 a.m. this morning. They're possible between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. across the area. It won't be storming for that long at your house. That is just the time frame of when the threat will begin and end locally. Streets were flooded yesterday as heavy rain poured down in parts of northwest Florida, which led to a flash flood warning. Some travelers were stuck in their vehicles as they became submerged in those floodwaters. Preliminary reports of storm damage include a tree falling on a backyard shed and water as it made its way down the stairs in Dillard's, flooding the shoe department. Florida gas prices seesawed again last week after falling to a 15-month low of $2.96 a gallon last Monday. The state average bounced back to 19 cents per gallon to $3.15 a gallon by last Thursday. That's 8 cents less than the highest daily average price this year. Yesterday's state average price for gasoline was $3.11 a gallon, which is 14 cents more than a week ago, the same as a month ago, and 49 cents a gallon less than this time last year. In Escambia County, the average price a gallon was lower than the state average at $2.96 a gallon. A low of $2.74 was available at a station on West 9 Mile Road. In North Escambia, the low price was $2.85 at two stations on Highway 29. Kids in need in the Panhandle may get a good night's sleep thanks to some volunteers. About 100 people from Perdido Bay Methodist Church took part yesterday in a bed-building event in Pensacola. The Sleep in Heavenly Peace Pensacola event is held for kids in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. About 40 beds were made yesterday, and they'll be delivered at a later date. SpaceX is getting ready for a historic mission. The Frame 2 mission is planned for tonight, and it'll mark the first time humans have orbited the Earth's poles from space. Entrepreneur Chung Wang is paying for the mission, which includes three others. They'll be flying in a Dragon spacecraft named Resilience. The 4.5-hour launch window opens at 9:46 tonight at Kennedy Space Center. Wang says he wants us to bring the world a new view of those polar regions, which are important to us. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3 to see when those showers will arrive.
A strong cold front will spread the chance for severe storms across the area.
Well, that's the forecast. It looks like it's going to be showers and thunderstorms today, basically occurring between about 10 and 2. The heavy front will pass through about that time. Some of them may be severe. High of 74. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 63. Tomorrow, clearing with a high of 75. Right now, 71 degrees in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 71 in Milton at 534. Next news is 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's wow. But okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet, kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line, sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Dancing. 536 here on News Radio, and you wouldn't want to see it. 536 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. On Friday, we had a chance to talk to Alex Andrade, State Senator Alex Andrade, who very famously and hurtfully said that I was playing for him the wrong old school rap music. I was thinking old school rap for somebody my age. He was thinking old school rap for somebody who's much younger like him. And so we've been trying to do better. Alex Andrade, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Oh, no, the song you just played, we don't have to go into details about the song you just played.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, that song you just played is what I had in mind. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. I heard what you played. I heard what Walker played with you last week, and, you know, I'm trusting John to be my guide on what is actually old school rap, not, you know, retired school rap like I would advocate for. A lot of stuff going on in the legislature. I don't know which one's the most important, but let's start with sort of the most recent. The legislature began this year by overriding some of the vetoes that the governor instituted last year and by basically saying, you know, we have the power to override vetoes, though, right? And it's kind of set itself up to be a little bit of a showdown between the governor and the legislature. And then he kind of came back and now has said, I don't like it. This is not good. You shouldn't do this. I figured you might have a thought.
Governor DeSantis, when he terms out in 2 years, is welcome to run for the Florida legislature if he thinks he can do it better.
Wow. All right. Fair. Okay, good. Everybody's got their role, right? Everybody's got their power. And by the way, you know, sometimes people perceive conflict as being some kind of a meltdown of the system. This is a system that is designed to manage the resolution of conflict and to create pathways in order to solve problems where people don't agree. Otherwise, we wouldn't need governments. It's not a constitutional crisis when people are exercising their powers, and it's not a state constitutional crisis when you guys pass a budget, he line item vetoes, and you override the veto. I mean, that's actually how the system works, right?
No, exactly. The separation of powers is baked into our American fabric. I think it was Justice Antonin Scalia, who gave a great speech to Congress one time about how that's not dysfunction. That's how the tension's how we're supposed to be operating. That's when we're operating at our best, is when we have that kind of tension. You don't want to be completely unresponsive. You don't want to have certain functions just completely fail. You know, I think Congress is at the point where it's failing when they're passing continuing resolutions instead of actually passing new budgets.
Oh, completely agree.
You know, I think Congress has reached that point of failure. But no, here in Florida, like, we pass a balanced budget, we meet all of our constitutional requirements, we function appropriately, and we only happen to be in Tallahassee, the legislature, for about, you know, in session for 60 days a year. The rest of the time, we're not even, you know, in session as the legislature, or we shouldn't be, because we shouldn't be having all these special sessions constantly to kind of end run the constitutional process that we already have. So no, I don't think that there's any kind of constitutional crisis here in Florida. This is how government's supposed to be operating.
I agree. Speaking of budgets, Danny Perez, Speaker of the House, a good friend of yours, advocated this week for a budget which is actually lower than last year's. That's kind of a novel concept in government. He also is advocating for a reduction in the state component of sales tax from 6% down to 5.25%, something that he says would reduce state income or revenue. We sometimes euphemize it as saying that state revenue go down by about $5 billion. But, of course, we're cutting spending, too. So this is, I mean, a major shift for the state. Is, I mean, are they serious? You know, does this look like a weird, I mean, I'm glad to see it, but is this a serious thing?
Oh, no, we're dead serious. This would be the first time that we've had such a significant cut in taxes. You know, this would be the, you know, the first time we've actually cut our spending without being forced to. Like, we had to have cuts in spending during the Great Recession as a Florida legislature. Obviously, I wasn't here, but like back in, I guess, 2009, 2010, because of a lack of revenue. This would be the first time that I'm aware of in history where we'd be actually cutting our budget so significantly and also cutting our spending, and also cutting our tax revenue. But I think it's merited, and there's one criticism that people keep saying. It's like, why are we going to cut taxes for tourists? But 365 days of the year, I live here in Florida, and you live here in Florida. I would say on any given day, less than 20% of all sales tax is paid by tourists. That means 80% of all sales tax that's paid every single day here in Florida is paid by a Florida resident. Tourists don't come here to buy cars. We buy cars here.
Right.
Tourists don't pay nearly as much for gas here in Florida as we do. We buy gas every single day here in Florida. This would be a huge savings for Floridians. I mean, $5 billion in savings divided by what, $22 million people. I mean, that's a real savings for Floridians that we haven't seen in Florida's history.
And honestly, the part about it that I like particularly is that it's not the tax holiday for special items so that we can get political benefit by looking that we're giving you cheaper things for back to school or whatever. You know me, my philosophy is I hate all these tax holidays. I think they're silly. But the one thing I can at least praise this one for is probably not going to get many people go to buy a flat screen TV and think, well, thank God that Danny Perez gave me a tax cut. They just don't even notice. You know, they might notice that it's less, but they aren't going to think the same way about, you know, favoring politicians for giving them this. At least I don't view it that way. What about in your silo? Because you are over the largest silo of the budget dealing with healthcare stuff. What are you guys, what's been happening there? Have you found, you know, we talked last time you were looking for redundancies in positions. You were looking for people who are getting paid twice. You were trying to bring some accounting reform to have the books basically be reconciled in ways that they had not been done properly. Have you made any progress?
Yeah. So I presented my budget, my proposed budget this week. It represents a cut of about $1 billion in initial annual spending, and it also cuts one program that spends $50 million a year over the next 10 years. So that's a savings of $500 million over the next 10 years. We propose cutting 3,500 positions from our healthcare agencies, so Department of Health, Agency for Healthcare Administration, DCF, Department of Children and Families, Agency for Persons with Disabilities, and Elder Affairs and Veterans Affairs. So we cut 3,500 positions, or proposed to cut that many positions.
Out of an overall number, what's the overall number we're looking at? 3,500 out of how many?
About 30,000. So about
10 or 11%. Okay, go on. Sorry.
And these are only positions that have been unfilled for 90 days or more.
Got it.
Some of these positions have been unfilled for several years. That represents a savings this year of about $150 million. If the Senate agrees with our position. While I did not propose cutting any like rates for healthcare services, we didn't increase any rates for healthcare services either. We do have in Florida, because we're not a state that expanded our Medicaid program, our healthcare spend in Florida is lower than the majority of other states. So I just didn't think it was appropriate for us to be doing that, especially when we look nationally. We don't have a guide star to see exactly what would be good healthcare spend for a state our size that didn't also expand our Medicaid program.
Right.
So those proposals came through this week. It repealed some portions of the Live Healthy Act that was the Senate President's priority last year. The Senate President from last year, Senate President Pasadomo, she is still in the Florida Senate, even though she's no longer the Florida Senate President. So I can see the Senate maybe having an issue with that. But under the new president, we'll see if they want to negotiate on that or not.
Got it. Alex, as I know you are well aware, your former employer, the city of Milton, or particularly Heather Lindsay, has made comments implying that the budget, that the budget items, the three items that they were hoping to get from the state this year in Tallahassee, her perspective is that they were on track to be requested. And then she sort of woke up one day and discovered that neither Senator Gaetz nor Pat Maney in the House was going to be running any of those items. And there was an implication or a statement, really, that Maney, anyway, had been told that, to get rid of them. Senator Gaetz said no such thing. But, the implication was that somebody killed these bills. And I think the implication was that it was you. That's what she, I think, is the implication. And, obviously, with not having Joel Rubman in the seat, there's nobody to advocate directly for the geography that is not your responsibility. It would be unethical for you to run bills when you were employed by the city. But can you just, address the issue? Did you have anything to do with killing, thwarting, ending, punishing the city of Milton or these three funding requests?
Nope. I think one key issue that the mayor keeps glossing over is the fact that she never personally spoke to Don Gaetz, and apparently the lobbyists never spoke to Don Gaetz until the very last minute, the day they found out that the House wasn't going to be filing those appropriations for the city. So I think the bigger issue was the entitlement expectation that somebody cared about Milton and Tallahassee. And there was really no advocacy, apparently. And again, this is all stuff I'm finding out after the fact. No, I had nothing to do with these appropriations not being filed. But again, even if they're filed, that doesn't mean they're going to get funded. The city of Pensacola filed one appropriation this year for a second fire boat just for American Magic. I don't think it's a year for the city of Pensacola to be getting a fire boat specifically for American Magic. So city of Milton's not the only city that's not going to get funding this year in the budget. There's hundreds of cities in Florida. Plenty of them are not going to be getting funding in the budget. I just hope at some point the city of Milton finds this new city council finds a new boogeyman to complain about.
We're just going to move on. obviously, I have a lot to say. We even have a whole feature. There's another bill that's been in discussion. I think Channel 3, even just as we're talking, has been running a story about this. The customary use bill. I think of this as the Fort Walton Beach bill, but I know it's not really just that. We only have a couple of minutes. I know it's a complicated subject. It's a bill you're running. As I understand it, it's not actually a bill that you're into all that much. It's a little bit complicated for people. Can you do your best to explain the bill, where we're at, why you're running a bill that isn't even really your project?
Yeah. So Shane Abbott's a House member, Jay Trumbull is a senator. They represent the Walton County area. They both asked me to file it because Shane Abbott didn't have a bill slot for that repealer bill. Essentially, the question is, should county commissions be able to vote to declare portions of privately owned land as customary use for the public to be able to cross and park on and camp out on, or should a judge have to determine whether or not a parcel of land meets the definition of customary use? So the tension there is who should be making that decision? Because it's a due process question, and it's almost like a taking of land. I've always erred on the side of saying a judge should probably do that instead of, five partisan politically elected officials. But at the same time, litigation is pretty much over in Walton County. Most of those parcels have either settled with the county one way or the other, or had judicial determinations made about them. At least as far as Walton County is concerned, I don't necessarily think the statute on the books the way it is needed. I think it's a misnomer and a misconception that anyone says this language carves out Walton County. It certainly doesn't. All you have to do is read the statute to understand that it has nothing directly to do with Walton County. By taking this back, it allows county commissions to essentially make that determination, and it would put the onus back on the property owners to take the county commission to court if they think the county commission took portions of their land inappropriately.
So it's which is ultimately a question of, like, what's been the habitual practice? Have these land rights been enforced and protected, or have they not? Has the public enjoyed a kind of customary use over time? You know, I think sometimes it gets perceived as, and it would be or could be, a taking. But I think, you know, some of the advocates of declaring customary use think of it as simply a recognition of what has always been the case. Of course, we've had conversations like this about, you know, over like on Perdido Key, for example, here, and, you know, a different issue, different laws, different property rights and all that. But it's that issue comes up of what the public is expected or has come to be expected as the customary use. And your basic point, I just want to make sure I get this, because I want to make sure people understand the issue, is that in Fort Walton Beach, it's relatively mooted out now because most of it has been resolved. It has historically been a question for judges to decide whether customary use applies rather than politically elected leaders. The bill would make it so that the county commission could do it, and then the individual landowner could sue in order to get back from having to grant the customary use access. And even though you side with the traditional interpretation and not for this bill, you're still running the bill because somebody asked you to. Which I think is a kind of, does that ever happen? First of all, do I have all that basically right?
Yeah. This isn't like a one issue where I'm so hard and fast on either side that I feel uncomfortable or like I'm violating some principle of mine to file it. But, you know, I think Walton County specifically, their issue is the county sold all of their beachfront to the Mean High waterline 50 years ago. And then they wanted to take it back without buying public beach access. I think that's more of a failing on the historical county commissions in Walton County, who didn't buy back public beach access after they'd sold it when they realized their beach was becoming popular. That really is the issue. I think if a county wants to take land, they have to pay for it. And I don't think that they should try and end run having to pay for land they want to take by, you know, kind of like dummying up a legal claim, like a legal statement of fact to declare land having a specific character instead of, you know, going through the process of buying back land that they want to own again.
Yeah, and I appreciate the issue. It's a very interesting issue, of course, and obviously as, beachfront properties here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, we think about this kind of stuff all the time. I just think it's interesting that you're filing a bill because they didn't have any slots left. You only have so many bills you can file. They didn't have repealer slots left that they could file, and you're filing it on their behalf, even though it's not exactly your issue. I kind of like that, honestly, that way of working together. Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for the time. I know you've been under the weather this week, and I hope you feel better. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, or maybe kind of putting off thinking about it, I know when you think about people selling you a car, a new car or a used car, you tend to think about them as being like your adversaries, you know, like they've got something you want, you've got something they want, you're going to go fight it out, and hopefully it works out in the end. You don't get taken advantage of, you get a good car, right? I mean, I know that's the normal way, but that's, you know, honestly, that's not the way capitalism is supposed to work. Capitalism is supposed to work when, in the sense that we're kind of on the same team. We're trying to accomplish a better state of affairs for both of us. And, you know, maybe instead of thinking of Frontier as the adversary for good quality used cars that are, you know, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years old with low miles and great condition that they warranty to 100,000 miles in 10 years or 10 years. Think about them more as an ally, as a consultant, as somebody who can give you car buying guidance, because certainly they see a lot of cars. They see a lot of people. People tell them what they think of these cars. They know what sells and maybe what doesn't sell. And you can ask them, hey, you know, here's what I've been thinking about. I've always been a Ford fan, or I've always been a Honda fan, or I've always been a, you know, whatever, you pick it. But are they still good cars? Do people like them? Are there features they don't like in particular generations or particular years of this month? I mean, like, ask them. They know. They've got a lot more experience in a lot more cars probably than you do. And so think of them as the people that you can just kind of ask for their input, you know, and tell them kind of what you're trying to accomplish. And maybe they have an idea that'll make your life better than kind of you deciding and then just going to buy what you've already decided on. Or, of course, you can go test drive a whole bunch of cars because they have a lot on the lot. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
June 15th is World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Every year, millions of older adults suffer from abuse, neglect, or exploitation, often in silence. If you suspect elder abuse, report it. One call can make a difference. Contact your local area agency on aging at 1-800-963-5337 or visit elderaffairs.org. Let's protect our elders. See something, say something.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs and find the right insurance products that best fit the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement. Or if you're looking for options now, they'll be taking your calls and questions tomorrow at 10 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable. News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Well, we're waiting.
Good morning, 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News in the newsroom this morning. David Wayne is out. Steve Taylor is in. What do you have for us, Steve?
Well, egg prices are dropping as chicken flocks begin to recover from the bird flu. The average wholesale price of a dozen eggs, which was about $3 last week, is down from a record $8.15 back in February.
I noticed it dropped. It peaked around, like, locally around 55 cents an egg. Walmart's now like 41 or 42 cents an egg. And I cannot believe I looked at 41 cents an egg and thought, woohoo! But by comparison, you know.
Yeah, right. Same here. Well, protesters were out in force at Tesla dealerships across the country over the weekend. More than 200 demonstrations were held on Saturday in what organizers call a global day of action. They're targeting Tesla because they believe CEO Elon Musk is using his wealth to fund political actions they view as a threat to democracy.
I'm still waiting for them to strap themselves to the SpaceX rocket to prevent the launch. That's what I'm looking for as a real protest. Go on, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, speaking of SpaceX, the two NASA astronauts who spent 9 months aboard the International Space Station are set to give a press conference today. SpaceX crew, which included Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore, had to spend a little longer at the International Space Station, a little longer than they expected, of course, after their Boeing Starliner spacecraft was deemed unsafe to return in like 9 months ago. And that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate it, Steve. 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If, you know, you need to get a home sold or bought, or, you know, before you decide to sell or buy a home, you want to just ask somebody for their opinion. Because I think a lot of times we approach somebody like a real estate agent and kind of like maybe a little bit backwards. You make a decision and then you find a realtor. Okay, you know, maybe call a realtor like Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty to help you make a good decision. You know, hey, is now a good time to sell? Is now a good time to buy? Is a rental house worth investing in? Are people still making money on short-term or long-term rental houses? Because the market has changed quite a bit in the last couple of years. We've been thinking about wanting to buy a house at the beach. Can we afford it? What would we need to afford that? You know, like, get input so that you can make a decision, but make a plan towards that decision, too, if that's what it takes. I mean, they sold, you know, 175 homes in 2023, 165 homes last year, so again and again and again, selling 3 to 4 homes a week. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, and she loves just talking to people about real estate. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. If I don't know if you saw this It's awful. It's hard to watch. There's a video on Facebook. It's been circulating on social media for about a week of a guy really abusing a dog. I mean, it's bad. I had seen this video, and we had been told. I didn't take action on this or cover this until more developed, but state attorney's office had been contacted, animal control had been contacted, and now the Escambia County Sheriff's Office has made an arrest in connection with that case. I'm sure we'll talk about that tomorrow with the department.